Hello, folks. Isn't it good to be back in the New Testament again? Well, here we are in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we have some hard-hitting chapters here. We're going to do 3, 4, and 5, and this right here is a description of the second coming, among all the other things that are here. As we start chapter 3, we're going to get some more of the introduction and the more of his talking directly to the saints in the churches and instructing them and answering a few of their questions here. But then it's going to get to the second coming, folks, and there is absolutely no reason not to understand this. And I'm going to show you, everybody, how they chop this up to proceed with their rapture lie. Listen, they are working hard at that right now. They're going back into this Ken Johnson. He is a big turncoat. He really is. And he has credentials, and he's getting online and talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls and perverting that and trying to promote his rapture lie. Okay, Calvinistic, heathenistic rapture lie, destroying prophecy in the process and deceiving everybody about the day of the Lord and how evil that really is. You just watch him. He's rolling them OIs around. Yeah, he's a sneaky snake. Ken Johnson. Credentials. Yes, indeed. Get it offline. Yeah, our computer wouldn't lie. They wouldn't change anything, would they? But here we go in Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, wherefore, when we would no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And that's, of course, Greece. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Yes, he is a good soldier, folks. To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Okay, so here we are lifting each other up in all this. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Okay? So, the fact that there's affliction happened to many of the saints here, not just Paul, but he's getting his share. And we got to be bold. We got to have both feet planted, moving straight ahead, and not allow any type of fear into our heart. And even when it comes to him being in the hootscow like he is most of the time, this is his opportunity to spread the gospel. And what he's saying is, don't be fearful in all this. This is our cup. It's filled up, and we have to drink it. Okay? And that goes for all of us. Okay? Paul surely got his share. In 4 it says, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Okay, so you see how Jesus Christ has told him all things and let him know the path that he has to travel, the cup that he has to drink. And he's let everyone know so that there would be no surprise. That's the beauty of our prophecies today. As you and I, we are all enduring the dogs of war and the ram and the he-goat prophecy. And that, well, what? That'll bring in the Antichrist and the peace agreement, see? And with that, we go through the tribulation together, don't we? Until the vials, and then the first sickle, we're gathered. The second sickle, Armageddon. It's really simple, folks. And Thessalonians here will harmonize that completely. There are some really good tidbits here of information. Very important. Okay. Came to pass there in 4 and in 5. It says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So it's nice to hear a good word, and it's always nice to hear that someone that you've helped get started is growing like a choice plant and giving off seed, right? That's the similitude language. In 6 it says, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of all of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. And that's the agape love. That is that Holy Ghost love of the brethren, brothers and sisters of the faith. In 7 it says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So even with all that trouble, he feels good about the seeds that were planted as he's hearing about them growing. In 8. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. That's life everlasting. Not the carnal life here. We got life everlasting. We got the victory. And all we got to do is stay true blue here. In 8 and 9 it says, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. So there's no repaying this joy, even in all this affliction, even with being attacked by the enemy, okay? We already know, as we were reading earlier in Thessalonians, who that enemy is, didn't it? Didn't it tell us? All right, in 10 it says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Okay, so see how the growth process, no matter who we are, the growth process moves on. The plant must be growing if it's going to give fruit. Okay, and I don't care if it's your first day or your 1,000 years of into this. This here is a growing process, and we got to keep growing. Okay, in 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. So he's really longing to see the saints here and yoke a little bit with people of the same understanding. In 12 it says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. Okay, so there's that agape love. It surpasses all understanding. The great comforter right here, the Holy Ghost. 13, it says, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints, period. Okay. Once again, we're referring to the major subject of this book, the second coming. And as you can see here, this book is over the last trump, not the earlier trumpets, because you have the seals and then you have the trumpets. the last of those trumpets announces New Jerusalem in heaven and talks about the mystery Babylon that's here on earth, the whore. But the seventh of every seven judgments is our victory. So when it comes to the plagues, as they're called, the seventh of each of them is a victory for us, a direct victory. Not a plague, but a victory for us. To hear this trumpet that we're talking about now, it comes during the vials. Late in the vials before the Battle of Armageddon. The old 1-2 punch. Gather the wheat into the barn and burn up the stubble. Symbol to language again. All right. Now, as this goes along, we're going to talk about some more instruction here, and we're going to get into this resurrection, our blessed resurrection, that's talked about from A to Z in our Bible. And that's directly connected to this, to Christ's second coming. Nothing in Thessalonians says anything about the sneak-in pre-trib rapture lie. It just doesn't. In fact, it's against it. It's against it. And we're going to see that here as we move on into this very heavy chapter, chapter 4. And we're moving on here in 4 in the verse of Thessalonians. It says, in verse 1 in chapter 4, it says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Okay, so you see you're going to get more and more outpourings of the Holy Ghost, but you have to do the command. And he's going to go over those here. In 2, it says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. All right? We all know what that is, correct? Not only just fornicating with fallen angel gods, little g, but we're talking about sex here. S-E-X. There is direct instructions in our doctrine of what we can and cannot do. There's no arguing about it. There's no gay marriage. There's no adulterer affair that is okay with God. Forget it. He said what he said here in 3, and that's all through the Bible. It really is. In the Old Testament, and with Moses, it gets you stoned to death. In 4, it says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So that's how to not defile yourself. And there's plenty of instruction in the Bible on that. In 5, it says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Okay? Concupiscence. That is an extraordinarily amplified lust for things that are not just sexual perversion, but all kinds of worldly things. But directly having this foul appetite tied into the world, into sex of all kinds, lusting after other things too. It's a conscience that's sizzled, man. You don't know right from wrong. And there's a great, great falling away into the ungodly angels when you fornicate. And notice here how the Gentiles are no better. That's all the other countries of the world. They were all in idolatry. So I can throw plenty of stones here, the Bible does, at the Jews. because they received the law. Okay? However, the world was steeped in this human sacrifice religion. And it still is. It still is, folks. It's a hidden religion. It's a successful religion. It is a witchcraft, satanic religion. The mystery school of Babylon. There, I give you a definition of it. It has to do with the obelisk, the monolith, the temples, the idolatry, the ungodly sex, the tampering with the fallen angels, etc. Okay, in 6, it says another direction for people if they want to keep abounding more and more. It says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we, and as we also have forewarned you and testified. Okay, so this stuff's been gone over and over, and we're just blessed enough to have it here in writing as he was writing these letters to the churches. And of course, that's not a temple. Okay, and that's another subject. In 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Okay, so there's a big separation. You can't mix these things together with God. You can't have ungodly sex and say you're a pastor, right? Can two pastors be suing each other over who raped who? Two men, like Ernest Ainsley and his crony? Overshadowed ministry. Right. See, that don't mix. And the Christian Kabbalist, the witch that wants to come in and practice Christianity too, that's another good one. See, there's a separating away from all that stuff. And he's talking about that here. The Holy Ghost will not abide when you are in uncleanness. 8, it says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit, capital S, period. And that's where you go back to Romans 13. The direction that the saints that gave you the ordinance, and that's the doctrine given by angels. If you don't want to listen to them, that's what will send you to hell. Not because you don't like your local politician. All right, and that's I'm sending us right back to Romans 13. We've done plenty of teaching on that. We don't agree with Adolf Hitler's Thule Society version of using Romans 13 in that manner. United States has really been guilty of that. All the pastors, and they just teach everybody, no matter how evil they are, God put them there. And that's just not true. It isn't true. Okay, and 9, but what about the saints? What about the people that are true blue? What about the people that do stick up for the doctrine? That's right. Can I get into heaven without the doctrine? No. You must love the doctrine. If I have to tell you that, then you ain't got it anyway. The doctrine is connected directly to your salvation, to your wisdom and understanding and salvation. So I think we better look up and not allow the Jay White type people to muddy that word. All right. But back into 9 here, it says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Okay, so you see how the gift of the Holy Ghost, that takes care of itself here. I mean, it's fun reading about it, but you've got the Holy Ghost, you're already doing it. That is spiritually given to you by the Holy Spirit. In 10 it says, and indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Okay, you see, that's why I'm saying we are a growing plant. And if a plant quits growing, it starts to die and decay. We cannot fall back. We cannot backslide, as it's called. All right. Now, what about studying? What about studying? Is that just something you do if you're an old timer ready to die? You pick up your Bible then? Or are we commanded to do it? Well, we're commanded to do it. I'll answer that. And it's all through the Bible. It's commended all through the Bible, and you're warned against not studying. But here's another one here in 11, another warning. It says, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. All right? So there's a studying. You've got to be diligent. You got to be not lazy about it. You got to be motivated. And the same with other things like working. And it doesn't matter what it is. You work, you eat. And that is obeying the commandments also. That goes clear back to Genesis. If you're a sloth at work, what is the chances of you being diligent about studying the doctrine? Okay, and you can't just walk into an Antichrist temple and say, I'm saved. Because, hey, if it has an obelisk on it, that's an Antichrist temple. That's what it means. That is exactly what it means, and I'm not mincing words. In 12, it says, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And he's talking about what? He's talking about working and not being a sloth, okay, and not mooching off other people. You're paying your bills and you're helping other people. But if you're a lazy person, you're not going to help anybody else. You're not even helping yourself. So laziness is a curse, okay? 13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Oh, boy, this gets heavy here in 13. Now we're to the subject here. This is where they start to pervert this book. Well, they pervert the rest of it too, but specifically here on the second coming. Now listen to this, and listen to what he's saying, and listen to it close. 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Notice here the term asleep. That means that you've passed on, that you're with Christ, okay? You're in heaven, you're in paradise. That's what the Bible teaches, that's what Christ said. When it says Stephen fell asleep, that doesn't mean that he just fell asleep, although there's plenty of scriptures that say that, you'll be protected. The hedge will be there even if you're martyred. I'm not denying that. But the term fell asleep, that just means you passed on. Okay, that's what it means. That's what it means here. Now, what he's saying, here we are. We're going to be called up hither on this day, on this return of God. And just we're going to be going up to meet the Lord. We're not going to prevent those that are coming with him, okay? This is what they use. I'll show you the line they use here to try to say it's the rapture. And that's, again, Hunt and Peck ministry. Okay, so just because we're going to be called up hither here during the tribulation, it doesn't mean we're going to stop the people that are coming with Christ. Okay, see, these questions come up with people, and there's nothing wrong with questions as long as people are giving you the good answers that are out of the Bible. Okay, anyway, There we go. This is the second coming. This is the resurrection here. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay, what does that mean?
You missed 15.
She wants to hear 15. It says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So I gave you the commentary and didn't read the line, but that's the line. You see, we're not going to prevent people that are being resurrected. What does the resurrection, what happens? They get their Melchizedek flesh. It doesn't mean that they weren't existing. Listen, Christ told the thief, this day you'll be in paradise. Okay, so, but that doesn't mean that he has his Melchizedek flesh. He just doesn't. That is the undying, no birth and no death flesh, like unto the angels. All right? All right, so there it is. We're not going to prevent them, okay? Obviously. Now, somebody had this question, and I know it seems that they ought to know that, okay? But by them asking this question, him answering it here, and it's in our doctrine, now it's answered for the rest of all of us. That's the beauty of this. Well, back into 16, this is the second coming. This happens during the vials, right before the Battle of Armageddon. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So they're going to have their Melchizedek flesh as they're coming with Christ. And notice the trump. That is called the last trump, and it's during the vials at the resurrection. Okay? Now we go to the next step. Here they come. They've been resurrected by that. They have their undying flesh. And in 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, folks, how can you get in that and pull a little bit, a line, a few words out of that and say that's a pre-trib rapture? Well, that's what they do. That's what they do. Do you think, does it seem logical that they're twisting that around and they have your good in mind? No, they do not. Okay, so there's that, and that's directly about our beautiful resurrection. And here's the notes right here from the translators. Big old thing up top here. It says, the resurrection. Okay, so you can't turn around and make up some story about the resurrection like Darby did. Okay, and he was an occultist. He was on the wrong side of the fence. He was working for Satanists to ruin your Bible. That's where the rapture lie came from. Okay, but we ain't going to stop there. This goes on. Listen to this. It says in 5 here, it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Okay, you see, you've been studying. You've been going over the prophecies. You got your watchful servant, so you know the signs of the time. Okay, that you're living in, and what are going to be the signs of the future. So that's what this means. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you 2, it says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Okay, and that's where Billy Graham and the Antichrist theologians stop. They don't read on. No, that's it. They go there to verse 2, and that's it. Oh, one will ever know. What's it matter? La-ti-dee, la-ti-da. It doesn't matter. Well, I say it does matter. We need to know the difference between the ram and the he-goat prophecy and the Battle of Armageddon. Do you know out there? Well, I know you do. Because that's all important to know the difference between Christ and the Antichrist. Now, here comes a little something in 3 about the Antichrist. "For when they shall say, peace, capital P, and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." All right? So the people caught like a thief in the night, that's because they're saying peace and safety, right? Because the Antichrist is going to make a peace agreement. Out of this barrage of hell that you see going on over there, there's a peace agreement on its way. Hear that? Now, that's for the ungodly. Paul says that this isn't for you, this thief in the night thing, because you're the children of light, not darkness. Listen to this. This is why we got to be watching, and that day will not take us unawares. In 4 it says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." Did you just hear that? Where is the willy-nilly pastor out here that says it doesn't matter pre-trib, post-trib, any trib? It doesn't matter. Thief in the night. No one will ever know. All lies. All lies and garbage. And they've repeated it to each other so many times that some people think it's the truth. Let me read it again. That day should overtake you as a thief? No. Because it says here, it says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness." In 6 it says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." So you haven't fell for the drunken spell that's over the world. That they're putting over the world right now with their ram and he-goat deception. Okay? You're a watchful servant. You know the signs of the time. You've read the prophecies for yourself. You've discussed them with the other saints. You are not in darkness. And you are not drunken with the world. Listen to this and the difference in this night and dark people. The people that can see in the light are the people that are blinded by the drunken night. Listen to this. "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." So they are the children of darkness. 8, it says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God..." Oh, here's one. Here's one they use. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, now that's one they use. See? You're not going to go into the tribulation because you're not appointed to wrath. Hey, biblical dummy. We're talking about God's wrath. You're a child of Jesus Christ, so you're not going to get God's wrath. That's for the children of darkness, the ones that don't know Jesus Christ. Who do they know? Who are they intimate with? Who are they having their fornication with? Is it not Lucifer and all his minions? Yes, indeed. Okay. So here, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. No, because we're not going to be beat up by God and cast into hell. No, because we're his children. We're all numbered with Jesus Christ. And what do we get but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ? And they take that line by itself now and say, that's the rapture. I've seen it all over the years, and they haven't found anything new, folks. They haven't. They're still using these same old lies. Hear that, KJ? In 10, it says, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So see, it's the resurrection. That's what it is. You can't take this line and stick it back before the tribulation the way they do, and that's what they do. And people that don't study, that's the playground for the devil's deceptions. You just are. You're commanded to study. He commanded it right here in 1 Thessalonians. So, is all this a comfort to us? Yes. If something here is stinging somebody's ears out there, then you need to study, man. Listen to what it says here in 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So we're teaching each other here for the growth process. That's the edification. Okay, that's what it means. Keep growing. Build on the building blocks of salvation here. Keep growing. And we do that for each other by one, studying with others. Okay, and you're going to gain your wisdom and understanding, and you'll never look back, and you'll just, the more you know, the more you'll grow, and the more you grow, the more you'll know. It'll never end. No end to the wisdom and understanding out of our doctrine. In 12 it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Okay, now this goes back to Romans 13. Notice that's in 13. See, because the people he was talking about are the people that gave you the doctrine. That's who he's talking about in Romans 13. Anyway, so there it is again. The people that are there that are leading the ministry along, the real ministry. 14, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So there, we're going to do that the best we can with the power of the Holy Ghost, and to reestablish the thoughts of like that in our mind by studying. And we know our salvation's coming, and we know our victory's coming. No matter how Satan roars, he's going to lose. He's going to make a loser. Yes, he is. Because here we have something for us. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Okay, so if the Holy Ghost is being poured out, keep that going and help support that. And this is like that. 1920 is like 19. It says, despise not prophesyings. And those are the Holy Ghost. True prophecies. Not the occultist throwing his tarot cards. 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. How do we prove all things? We want to know. We got to have what to do that? Judgment. And what gives us the judgment? The doctrine. The Holy Ghost inside you. You know good from bad, don't you? You know evil from good? Well, that's judgment. And we're to have that. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that verse takes us right back into this major topic here in Thessalonians. 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So we have the sure word of prophecy. Brethren, in 25, pray for us. 26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Period. Then another paragraph mark here. It says the first epistle unto the Thessalonians was written from Athens. Okay. All right, now we got to harmonize this one here. We got to harmonize it with 2 Thessalonians. And we're getting ready to do that. So that's what we're going to do, folks. So I will catch you for the next CD.